right now on VFM TV, we're going to take a serious look at the history of America in regards to race and what, you know, these conversations going on about different things in our nation. We're going to look, we're going to hear from Professor Carol Swain of Vanderbilt as she explains what happened between the Democratic and Republican Party. Great history lesson for us. Also, we're going to hear actually from Charles Barkley himself, the retired MBA, now television announcer and a business leader, about talking about the comments as well. And we're going to go and listen to what's happening with anti-Semitism, racism towards Jews in America and the world, including actually happened in America as well, but in Israel, with Naftali, our unofficial field reporter. It says in the Word of God, Jesus told us, in the last days, nation would rise against nation. That word means ethnos would rise against ethnic. Ethnic group would rise against ethnic groups. Where we get the word race? Well, is this the time of our Lord's coming? Either way, we're going to find out the true history. Join us right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
He said the seat of evil is going to come down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. Does it look like Tomahawk missiles in Syria? Does it look like Moab bombs in Afghanistan? Does it look like the carrier group right off the coast of North Korea? Of course, a lot of people who liked the status quo and people who were for aborting children, for funding Planned Parenthood, for befriending the enemies of Israel, they're upset right now. But the people that are for God, for Israel, for the country, for the Constitution, for Supreme Court justice that actually loves the Constitution and honors it, they're happy and for God.
They will shout, impeach, impeach, they say, but nay.
But we know that families and churches, not government officials, know best how to create a strong and loving community.
Saudi Arabia has always been keen to play its role in the region and in partnership with the U.S., so I think we are more than ready to cooperate with the United States on countering ISIS.
America is back again.
Mr. President, I appreciate the fact that you went to the Western Wall and you're the first acting president who's done that. The people of Israel applaud you for it.
Israelis have experienced firsthand the hatred and terror of radical violence. Israelis are murdered by terrorists wielding knives and bombs. Hamas and Hezbollah launch rockets into Israeli communities where school children have to be trained to hear the sirens and to run to the bomb shelters with fear, but with speed, not with Donald J. Trump.
God sent me here as a prophet to say to you, God is about to give wealth transfer in these last days. And you need to believe it.
This is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land, and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kalaszewski. Again, we want to give a big shout out to our audience in Denver, Colorado, and Cheyenne, Wyoming. We're so glad to have you as part of our audience. Also, we give a big shout out to Mobile and the Mississippi and the Florida. We're just excited about all of us joining together on this journey. Over 5+ million people just in broadcast alone, including all around the world. 196 countries and 7 territories. Isn't that amazing? We're doing that together. Thank you for standing with us. Well, today we're talking about looking at the Constitution, looking at the history of America, looking at the political parties. And you think about the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution is just a major, important document. It's one of the documents that so many people who are enemies of America want to take down. It's so inspired, it seems, by the Lord. These men were so wise. You know, it was based off the Magna Carta that was written 500 years prior to today, I believe. in regards to, you know, the freedoms given. It's a new thing, people having freedoms in their nation, having a say-so. We all used to be servants and slaves and that type of thing since the beginning of time almost. But America is a, was a great experiment that God has blessed, and it's been going now over 230 plus years. Well, think about this. Even during the time when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was standing up for the civil rights, for the rights of the African-American citizen, and it just, it was a beautiful stance that he was standing up. What he was saying over and over again, he says, listen, we're just only talking to you about holding you up to the Constitution, what's written on the papers. As a matter of fact, let's take a look back quickly at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
That all men are created equal. He's quoting from the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution is what he's talked about. I want to just hold you what's on the papers. And it's what we all want to treat all of our citizens of America with, equal rights. We had a program that we did about what taking the test to be a U.S. citizen. And when you go and study those questions that you got to be able to pass to be a citizen, you'll find out people that are brand new citizens know more about our country than people who've been born in America. It's just a very precious thing to be an American. Well, you're hearing all these things about political parties, and people are saying that party, you know, is a slavery party. This party is oppressive to this and to that. But you know what? There's a true history about the political parties. The truth is the truth. A new book just came out recently. It's called The Smears, talking about these political type smears that are going on. You can probably see the name of it right here. But they talk about specifically if you want to take down the truth, you can't take down the truth. But if you can find the messenger of the truth, they try to smear that person so they can't deliver the truth. It's amazing how that's happening again and again. They try to do that with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and so many others as well. And they're trying to do that with our president today. But this is Professor Carol Swain from Vanderbilt University, and she's with Prager University, and she's looking at the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and she's telling us the true history. Which party is the party that enslaved our African-American brothers and sisters in America? Let's go back and listen to Professor Swain now at Vanderbilt.
Once upon a time, every student of history, and that meant pretty much everyone with a high school education, knew this. The Democratic Party was the party of slavery and Jim Crow, and the Republican Party was the party of emancipation and racial integration. Democrats were the Confederacy, and Republicans were the Union. Jim Crow Democrats were dominant in the South, and socially tolerant Republicans were dominant in the North. But then, in the 1960s and 70s, everything supposedly flipped. Suddenly, the Republicans became the racists and the Democrats became the champions of civil rights. Fabricated by left-leaning academic elites and journalists, the story went like this. Republicans couldn't win a national election by appealing to the better nature of the country. They could only win by appealing to the worse. Attributed to Richard Nixon, the media's all-purpose bad guy, this came to be known as the Southern Strategy. It was very simple. Win elections by winning the South. And to win the South, appeal to racists. So the Republicans, the party of Lincoln, were to now be labeled the party of rednecks. But this story of the two parties switching identities is a myth. In fact, it's three myths wrapped into one false narrative. Let's take a brief look at each myth in turn. Myth number one, in order to be competitive in the South, Republicans started to pander to white racists in the 1960s. Fact, Republicans actually became competitive in the South as early as 1928 when Republican Herbert Hoover won over 47% of the South's popular vote against Democrat Al Smith. In 1952, Republican President Dwight Eisenhower won the southern states of Tennessee, Florida, and Virginia. And in 1956, he picked up Louisiana, Kentucky, and West Virginia, too. And that was after he supported the Supreme Court decision in Brown versus Board of Education that desegregated public schools, and after he sent the 101st Airborne to Little Rock Central High School to enforce integration. Myth number two, Southern Democrats, angry with the Civil Rights Act of 1964, switched parties. Fact, of the 21 Democratic senators who opposed the Civil Rights Act, just one became a Republican. The other 20 continued to be elected as Democrats or were replaced by other Democrats. On average, those 20 seats didn't go Republican for another 2.5 decades. Myth number three, since the implementation of the Southern Strategy, the Republicans have dominated the South. Fact, Richard Nixon, the man who is often credited with creating the Southern Strategy, lost the Deep South in 1968. In contrast, Democrat Jimmy Carter nearly swept the region in 1976, 12 years after the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And in 1992, over 28 years later, Democrat Bill Clinton won Georgia, Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, and West Virginia. The truth is, Republicans didn't hold a majority of Southern congressional seats until 1994, 30 years after the Civil Rights Act. As Kevin Williamson of National Review writes, if Southern rednecks ditched the Democrats because of a civil rights law passed in 1964, it is strange that they waited until the late 1980s and early 1990s to do so. They say things move slower in the South, but not that slow. So what really happened? Why does the South now vote overwhelmingly Republican? Because the South itself has changed. Its values have changed. The racism that once defined it doesn't anymore. Its values today are conservative ones, pro-life, pro-gun, and pro-small government. And here's the proof. Southern whites are far more likely to vote for a black conservative like Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina than a white liberal. In short, history has moved on. Like other regions of the country, the South votes values, not skin color. The myth of the Southern Strategy is just the Democrats' excuse for losing the South, and yet another way to smear Republicans with the label racist. Don't buy it. I'm Carol Swain, professor of political science and law at Vanderbilt University for Prager University.
Is that not a shocker when you're seeing the true history of America hasn't been taught for quite some time? She said everybody was taught this to a certain point and they quit teaching it. That's why it's important that we actually know what's being taught in our schools today. We just heard, well, we're not going to talk about the content that's taking place. So we need to get a hold of the school boards and find out what's being taught in our schools. But that's the truth. The truth is that obviously if Abraham Lincoln was the one that signed the Emancipation Proclamation, the Republican Party is the freed slavery. That's the Republican Party, what they're known for. And they just, you know, the book's smeared. You got to check out this book. We'll talk more about it probably a little bit later in the program. But what they do is they look, people look straight at the truth. And if they can't change the truth, they actually try to attack the person who's delivering the truth. They call that a smear. She calls that in the book. But and say, you got to tell a big lie. That's a huge lie, because actually it was the Democratic Party that was enslaving our fellow citizens in America, and it was the Republican Party that set them free. Either way, we've come beyond that now, and our values, she says, is totally different. I thought she did a really good job. Listen, we get back from this break. We're going to hear from Charles Barkley, former NBA player, you know, a leader in the NBA, business leader, announcer, and he's talking about what's taking place in America right now in regards to what they're asking the question about these Confederate statues and what should we do with it. We want to hear from Charles Barkley, what he has to say about it. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program,
that we have for years now, with all these pertinent topics of the day, plus things that you need to know, is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Wasn't it so interesting to hear what Professor Swain with Vanderbilt had to say about the true history of America?
Absolutely. And that's what's so powerful about truth. You know, Jesus said, I am the truth. Right. I am the way. I am the life. And it's just like, if you don't know the truth, you're susceptible to whatever someone tells you.
Right.
And like she says, okay, here's the myth. Here's the truth. And the thing
and
is,
the truth is the truth.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you don't know what the truth is, you're blindly going to accept what's being told to you. And it's like we're talking during the break. It's so important that we have truth in our schools.
Yeah. And I hear leaders, board members, and superintendents say, oh, we can't do that because of this. We can't do it. It's like you should have the truth in there no matter what.
Yeah.
You should have the truth in your school. That's your school. It's not some political official school. It's not some board member's school. That's your school. This is America. And we got to begin to say, well, just truth, whatever truth is. You know, we need the truth about slavery, the truth about, you know, good, bad, and the ugly, everything that happened. Mm-hmm. And I think about this book by Cheryl Atkinson. It's called Smear, right?
It's called The Smear, How Shady Political Operatives and Fake News Control What You See, What You Think, and How You Vote.
One thing she says in this book, and you got to get this book, you're going to understand, because she's dissecting about what's really taking place in our government, you know, and in media and all the different things going on. But the big thing she says is that what they do is you can't change the truth, but you can actually smear the one who's the best at communicating that truth.
Right.
So when you start seeing somebody who is being attacked and all they're doing is sharing the truth, you need to listen carefully to that person.
Right.
I mean, you think about how many times they try to smear Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now here he is, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God in the flesh. He's the morning star. He's awesome. But they called him the devil. They called him a liar. They called him a drunkard. They did everything to do. They said, smear the messenger. Of course, nothing stuck because he's sinless Son of God.
Right.
But that happens every single time. That's what the enemy does. He tries to come in and smear you. And don't give up the truth when people start trying to attack you. They're trying to get you, the messenger, to shut down and quit delivering the truth. That's how powerful the truth is that you're delivering.
Right.
And I think about our president. You know, our president, he's just saying things like, I love all Americans. You know, I want us all to get along.
Unity. Come together. We support you.
Unemployment rates down by 17-year low. The borders are safe, illegal. Immigration's dropped by 70% on the border. Stock market's higher than it's been before. It's like, This is celebration time.
This is a good thing.
Smear campaign, that's what's going on. And you know, we're going to talk a lot about that, but understand, I'd get this book just to understand, because it's really a system. It's I think she reported this is one of the highest paid positions now in Washington, D.C., the industry. It's the smear industry.
And that's one of the things, too, is just like, as you're understanding, even now in our culture and our generation, we have so much information and we're just susceptible to technology that's all around us. And right. She talks into detail that she says every image and everything that's put before you is placed there very strategically. Yeah. Nothing is on accident. And you start to look at, okay, I'm seeing these things from multiple sources or web pages. Why am I seeing
that? They do that intent, try to make it like happenstance, but they actually, I mean, she talks about just
every bit of that. And she talks a very, very good job about that.
And we have to understand that, because we are supposed to be followers of the truth.
That's right.
And we'll have a nation if we actually stick to the truth, but if we buy into a lie, we'll lose the nation.
Division.
And it's one nation under God, right? Yep. It's what God has called us to be. Our rights come from God. The Word of God says this, that if God allows a nation to exist, and if we turn our backs on Him, He'll take that nation down. Yeah. But if we repent, He'll let the nation stand. Nations stand because God allows them to stand.
His
and not to acknowledge Him. Of course, our president did a prayer proclamation over the nation, first time in 100 years, had the pastors, ministers come in and pray over our nation and pray over him. I mean, we're turning to God. God's hearing that. So this is a very important time. But they're actually trying to smear the ministers who are on part of the advisory team of the president, trying to get them to come out and separate them from him. But guess what? They said they're not going to do that. They said no.
Well, you think about it. The name devil means one that comes in between and divides.
It's in between and divides.
And just like what you were talking on a previous program, it's just like, how much of a shame would it be for us to find out that we were on the wrong side of what God is doing? And it's just like, we've got to humble ourselves and just like, God, what are you doing? And get behind what God's doing.
You know, I think about, you know, former NBA player and business leader and, you know, TV personality, Charles Barkley, and they're asking him about these Confederate statues that are going on right now, and some are being taken down, some are being left up, and I think the people are more important than the statues.
Yes.
I think we need to really think about the people first. But listen, he's being interviewed about these Confederate statues around. This is Charles Barkley responding to that in his comments.
I'm not going to waste my time worrying about these Confederate statues. That's wasted energy. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep doing great things. I'm going to keep trying to make a difference, number one, in the black community because I'm black, but I'm also going to try to do good things in the world. I'm not going to waste my time screaming at a neo-Nazi who's going to hate me no matter what, and I'm not going to waste my time trying to worry about these statues they got all over the country.
So do you leave them up and ignore them?
I've always ignored them. Rick, I'm 54 years old. I've never thought about those statues a day in my life. I think if you ask most black people, to be honest, they thought a day in their life about those stupid statues. What we as black people need to do, we need to worry about getting our education. We need to stop killing each other. We need to try to find a way to have more economic opportunity and things like that. Don't waste. Those things are important and significant. You know, I'm wasting time and energy screaming at a neo-Nazi or, man, you got to take this statue down.
That's so important. You're hearing Charles Barkley speak about that. It's so, you got to really think about what's really more important. And it's like that smear campaign where they're getting people focused on something that's like, what about my house? What about my job? You know, you look at the unemployment rate has dropped to 17-year low, and the economy's going up. And you know, when the stock market goes up, that means trillions of dollars being injected into our economy, which means the local business that's owned by stockholders, the value of that business has risen up. So we're the highest it's ever been in the history of America. And so good things are happening right now. It's like people are trying to distract. And Charles, I think he's saying right now, listen, this is more important, you know, good education and a good job and a good career. Right. And let the finances just transfer in regards to doing a good job and running a good industry. Listen, after this break, we're going to hear from our unofficial field reporter, Hanania Nafatali, talking about how, why are, because he went on a trip to Germany, and he's looking at, you know, an unofficial field reporter from Jerusalem.
Yeah.
He went to Germany, started realizing everywhere he went, the synagogues, the Jewish synagogues, were had police protection and guards.
Security. Oh.
Mosques didn't, and the Muslim mosques didn't, and the churches didn't. And he's wondering, as a Messianic believer, as a Jew, he's like, what's going on right here? We're going to hear from that, and we're also going to go by and look at 10 things that stand out about the Sea of Galilee. So make sure you join us after the break. But first, I want to send you this. This is an encouraging teacher, The Father's Significance in God. I want to give this to you. Here's the details.
Offer 2039, The Father's Significance in God. Of all the titles the creator of the universe could have called himself, he chose Father. We are told in Romans that God can be understood by what he has made, which family is one of his creations that is led and protected by the Father. Yet we find that the role of the Father in the world and America has been under assault now for many decades, and the statistical facts scream at all of us in society, with over 24 million children living in fatherless homes. The more we dishonor our Father, the more our society will disintegrate. The Father's absence, or the presence of dishonor, is producing poverty, behavior problems, infant mortality, more crime and prisoners, drug abuse, teen pregnancies, childhood obesity, school dropouts, and more. In this message, you'll discover just how important the Father's role is and how honor in the Father's role God created is a way of honoring God. Even God said, if I'm your Father, where is my honor? If not already, you'll be encouraged as a father, but also challenged as a wife and children to reconsider how you've been or not been honoring your father and other fathers, as well as helping others to honor their fathers. You'll discover how this very action will be the key ingredient of turning our nation, communities, and family back to God's plan for us all. The Father's role is so important, we're told that before the Lord returns, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers, or else he will smite the earth with a curse. It's time to break the curse and turn our hearts back to honor God as our Father and our Father's God has given us. We want to send you this offer for a free gift of any amount. Or you can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFNTV, 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or you can call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2039, The Father's Significance and God.
VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
We have a law society for undergrad students who are in the legal studies program. Jay, I need to know something regarding a Christian law society, and what will we need to do to go about it, or is there like a national charter?
Well, actually, there is. The Christian Legal Society has student campuses on almost every campus in the country, and I would encourage you to look at that as a possible option. And they've got some great programs and great resources, and I would encourage you to do that. So just go to cls.org, but it's the Christian Legal Society, and they've got great information. It's important to have Christian fellowship groups, and they're allowed to meet just like they can on a college campus, on any other club meeting, or a high school campus. They're allowed to meet, discuss legal issues, and whatever it might be, and the Christian Legal Society would be a good place for you to look at.
Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Ruth Cox from Sherman, Texas, is a consultant. Hi, my name is John Maxwell, and welcome to Minute with Maxwell. The word today is stewardship. Stewardship means management. When we become a good steward of something, it means that we have managed it. And I think that the root of management comes from the fact that we feel responsible for it. And I have often said we should start managing our life before we start managing anything else or anyone else. So stewardship kind of begins with me, managing my own time, managing my own efforts, managing my life to its very maximum potential. I was recently asked, as a leader, what my greatest challenge was, and I said to them with a smile, leading myself. If I could just lead myself well, it's a lot more difficult than leading others. So manage yourself, be a good steward of your own life first, and then you can lead others.
Which, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torchlight, you need to go to VFNTV.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this? Including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared. So if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Well, we are going to be talking, we're talking about, you know, nations and, you know, the word nations, where Jesus says that the sign of his coming will be nation
against nation,
against fighting against nation. Mm-hmm. And that word nation is where we get the word ethnos, or ethnic group. So mm-hmm. ethnic group will be fighting against ethnic group, or, you know, race, mm-hmm. race wars. And it's like, it's just always been interwoven in culture for some reason. Even the Samaritan woman that was by the well, mm-hmm. you know, some of the Jews were going like, what are you doing talking
to, talk
her?
To her?
She's
yeah.
made of different races. And Jesus said, ho, wait a minute. Yeah. And he says, hey, that's not God. We're all creating the image and the likeness of God.
Right.
We're actually all made from dirt.
That's
when you
right.
think about it. I remember Pastor John Kilpatrick talking about that years ago when he was ministering at Brownsville Assembly. He said, we're made from spit and dirt, right? God,
right.
you know, when God went to go create man, he formed us from the field, from mm-hmm. from the dust of the earth, and then he breathed life into us. But when he went to go heal the man's eyes, remember what he did?
He spit in the dirt
and rubbed it in his eyes. And he looked past the pigment of somebody's skin and yeah. look at the beautiful human being that they are. But right now, when you hear about anti-Semitism, what that really is, it's better just to say what it is, because people don't understand that word. It's been so minimalized by these yeah. smear campaigns. It means being racist towards a Jew just because they're Jewish. And you don't want to do that, because, you know, this is what God said. This is where I set my land. This is where I set my eye. This is where I set my heart. They're his chosen people in regards to what he's doing, showing himself mighty. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're wonderful people. If you haven't seen what Israel is doing, the Jews are doing for the world, but because of the spirit that comes across the land, as a matter of fact, Hananiah Naftali, our unofficial yeah. field reporter from Jerusalem, recently went to Germany, and he's starting to, and he's a Jew, so he's looking around thinking, why have all the places that I go to worship at, or my fellow Jewish brothers go to worship at, that why are they?
Why is there so much security
why
here?
Why is there security here?
Well, is there security anywhere else?
Yeah, and it's anti-Semitism, where people are trying to attack the Jews in these yeah. different lands. As a matter of fact, let's go listen to Naftali now from Jerusalem.
Anti-Semitism is not a fairy tale. It's alive and it's ugly. Okay, so I didn't really get a chance to make a video about it, but almost 2 months ago, I went to Germany and Poland. I spoke there about Israel to encourage and educate Europe to get to know the real Israel. It was amazing. I mean, the food, the people, and the fact that I rode the ATV for the first time in my life. But here's the thing. While I was traveling in Europe, I visited synagogues, Jewish communities, and I noticed that they all had this one specific thing in common. Security. The police was guarding literally every synagogue I have visited in Europe. And the question is, why do Jews need protection? I mean, 6 million Jews were murdered in the Holocaust. 6 million human beings were murdered because of anti-Semitism. And today, in 2017, anti-Semitism is still alive. Hate towards Jews is not a fairy tale, it's alive and it's kicking. Why mosques don't need protection? Why churches don't need protection? Why Jews are the only ones who still need protection today? Why do I, a Jew, still get messages and comments that say that Jews are dogs, I'm a pig, and that I should die? We must take a stand, because Jews should feel protected wherever they are, because we are human beings just like everyone else. Anti-Semitism is so wrong, and we can't be silent about it. I encourage you to take a step forward. As hate is alive towards Jews, let's share the love of Jews. Remain in God, love you.
Remain in God, love you. That's yeah. so important. Can you imagine, here you are, and you know, people, it happens all around the world, where people start mm-hmm. hating on people just because of their ethnicity or their...
Because they're different.
Because they're different.
Yeah.
And he's saying, we got to stand up for this, and we should always stand up when we start seeing hate and bigotry right. and these different things. And just because somebody says there's bigotry and hate doesn't mean there is. Quite often, the person that's saying that, behind that person is hate and bigotry and that right. type of thing, but it's actually acceptance of everyone
right.
in regards to what's going on. I think about, you know, at 23 years old, that Napatala, he had to actually experience this. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, you need to speak out now. Because right. history says, you know, what happened during the time of Hitler and, you know, Goebbels and all the things that was going on with, you know, minimalizing mm-hmm. the Jewish people in Germany and wanting to extinguish the Jewish people. The night of Kristallnacht, when all of a sudden they began to turn against the businesses and turn against, I mean, it's rapid thing. I think it was like 7 months, Steve. You got to get this book. The book is Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Prophet, Martyr, Spy.
Yes. You know, we read that, but you got to read that book because you'll see what happened to him. Like just 7 months to minimalize the Jews, begin to take them out of the workplace, put them in ghettos, bring them out in trains and end up at camps and begin to kill them and gas. It's like, how could that happen in 7 months? It did happen. And so Napatali's right. You know, how many is right? He's saying, listen, we got to stand up and speak out against those things and in support of our brothers and sisters and our fellow Jewish brothers that are there. And he's a messianic believer. He loves Jesus. But he's right there in Jerusalem. He served in the Israeli Defense Force.
Yep.
And speaking of that, you know, I know you served in the military. I served in the military. And Hanaya served in the military. But, you know, everybody talks about these national forces. These national forces. Mm-hmm. You know, what they're really saying is the United Nations. You know, if we just put the United Nations in, that they'll protect things. And they're wanting Israel to give up the Jordan mm-hmm. banks, right? The
Jordan Valley.
And say, we'll just send the United Nations in there to protect them. And this is every single time, Steve. Every single time they sent the United Nations in to be able to come in and do something, right at the moment they needed the nations the most to stand with them, they pulled out.
When Israel needed the United Nations the most,
yes.
the United Nations troops would flee where they were told to be.
It's like a setup.
Yeah.
It's like, you think about the unstoppable voting bloc where it has a majority of communist and Muslim nations who work together mm-hmm. to vote against Israel all the time in the United Nations. And I think about Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu when he came and he spoke to the United Nations a couple of years ago and he just stared everybody down and said, what are you doing?
Stare this, down.
The whole purpose of the United Nations was to stop that actually from happening mm-hmm. again. You got to take a look at this because this is actually looking firsthand of why you can't trust the United Nations to be the ones to be able to defend mm-hmm. really anything, but definitely not to defend Israel. I thank God for our ambassador, Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley.
And she is staunch.
There's a new leadership in town. What was tolerated yesterday is no longer tolerated today.
That is so good. Let's take a look right now. Think about it. So this is the valley, the
Jordan Valley,
which is on the side of the mountains. That's how they protect Israel. And they're wanting to take that over United Nations. We don't want the United Nations doing anything but actually, they could go home. I probably would do a lot better.
You'd probably just remove it.
Yeah, I don't know. They might do that. It might be funded. I don't know. Let's take a look now.
Should Israel withdraw its military from the Jordan Valley and rely on international forces for its security? Some politicians and diplomats around the world say yes. But 70% of Israelis say no. Who's right? Egypt. After the Suez Crisis, the United Nations Emergency Force, UNEF, is deployed in the Sinai Peninsula. Its mission, securing the cessation of hostilities, ensuring freedom of navigation in the Strait of Tiran, and serving as a buffer between Israel and Egypt. However, in May 1967, Egypt masses its army on Israel's border and closes the Strait of Tiran. UNEF retreats. The stage is set for the outbreak of the Six-Day War. Lebanon, 1978. After repeated armed attacks against Israel by terrorist organizations operating from southern Lebanon and Israeli defensive actions, the United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon, UNIFIL, is established. Its mission, restoring peace and security and the effective authority of the Lebanese government. However, UNIFIL fails to stop the flow of hostile forces from entering southern Lebanon and fails to stop the terrorist attacks against Israel. Two wars ensue in 1982 and 2006. In 2000, UNIFIL troops observe Hezbollah's cross-border attack on Israel and the kidnapping of three Israeli soldiers, but do nothing to stop the attack. In 1983, Iran orders Hezbollah to attack the multinational force in Beirut. 241 American servicemen and 58 French paratroopers are killed. The multinational force withdraws completely within 6 months. 2006, UNIFIL is upgraded with European troops and weapons in order to implement UN Security Council Resolution 1701 its mission to stop Hezbollah activity south of the Litani River and help implement a weapons embargo on the organization. However, UNIFIL does nothing to stop the rearmament of Hezbollah.
We are at a point now when Hezbollah has far more rockets and missiles than most governments in the world.
Gaza, 2005. After Israel pulls out of Gaza, European monitors are stationed on the Gaza-Egypt border. Their mission, to prevent weapons smuggling into Gaza. However, in 2006, as Hamas begins its takeover of Gaza, the Europeans flee their positions. Iranian and Libyan weapons flow into the arsenals of Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and Al-Qaeda affiliates, and are fired at Israeli population centers. By June 2007, their operations are officially suspended. Syria. The United Nations Disengagement Observer Force, UNDOF, is established in the Golan Heights following the Yom Kippur War. Its mission, to maintain the ceasefire between Israel and Syria. However, in 2013, as the Syrian civil war intensifies, Austria, Croatia, India, and the Philippines retreat. The repeated failure of international forces to maintain peace and security goes well beyond the Middle East. Peacekeeping forces from the US and Europe dispatched to Somalia, Bosnia, and Rwanda have ultimately retreated when attacked, allowing a bloodbath to follow. Since 1967, the Jordan Rift Valley has served as a formidable geographic barrier, protecting Israel and the front line of its defense in the east. The Israeli army has been deployed along its steep slopes, thwarting terrorist infiltration and deterring potential attacks from hostile armies. This critical zone cannot be turned over to international forces that have consistently proven to be ineffective, unreliable, and quick to retreat from conflict zones. Israel's national ethos has always been one of self-reliance, and it has never requested that its allies shed their soldiers' blood for its defense. History leads us to the unmistakable conclusion: Israel must defend itself by itself.
That's so important to understand. Notice that every single time when they said they're going to protect Israel, right in the moment when the battle was at its hottest, they would back out. But if you understand, we talk about the unstoppable voting block where the Muslim nations and the communist nations came together against Israel, they have an unstoppable voting block. But what America has is a financial block. We fund the whole thing almost, fund a significant part of it. And we talk about defunding, you know, the United Nations no longer paying that part of it. And then we have to stand there for them. So the United Nations is never going to stand up for Israel when the rubber hits the road. They've proven it again and again and again and again. So Israel has to protect themselves.
Yeah.
But I think about this. I think about that book again. The Smear, you know, by Cheryl Atkinson.
Atkinson, yes.
Atkinson, where right now the leader of Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and his wife Sarah, they're trying to smear these guys. These guys are excellent people. They are just a blessing actually carried the narrative, a healthy narrative for the world for quite some time during the last 8 years.
And reports are that they're being indicted for like public funds.
Well, what happened was
that's the lie.
Some of the reports are, it's a lie. It's a smear.
Right.
And you got to read this book to really understand
it.
Because they say you can't do away with the truth, but you got to find the best communicator of the truth and take them out
and smear them.
And that keeps the truth from you. You want to keep people. They're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Everybody on us can be smeared, but you don't want to get rid of the truth bearer, right?
And when you look at that too, and look at that on a specific sense, one like micro, but when you look at globally, that's the BDS movement,
which is boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel.
Anything like businesses, products, and it's just like you're hearing this so global. It's just like why is it? It's like the world problem, oh, it's Israel's fault. Oh, it's Israel's fault. And they're just trying to build that narrative.
YouTube actually blocks any video content at all that have to do with anything about Israel.
Right.
It's automatically
blocked. Automatically.
You know? And so there's some sort of, you know, it's a smear campaign. Obviously, Israel, if you see what they do, we had a couple programs about it. The medical devices you use, technology that you're using,
agriculture
that you're using,
energy, business.
It is like the Silicon Valley of the Middle East,
blessing their enemies.
Yeah, blessing the enemies, giving. I mean, they're just good. They go even help people that are trying to kill them. They go and help them when they get wounded and bring them into their hospitals. It's all a smear campaign. The Israeli people, the Jewish people, it's a fine nation and people. If you're going to be hurt, you want to be there. They're going to take care of you. But listen, we get back from this break. First, we're going to go look at 10 things about the Sea of Galilee as Naphtali is going to take us there. But first, I want to remind you of this. Do you remember the first 6 months of President Donald Trump's time in office, what took place in the first 6 months? Let's take a look at that before we go to break. Take a look.
From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. Think of the marvels we can achieve if we simply set free the dreams of our people. Because in America, we don't worship government, we worship God. All the nations of the world, friend or foe, will find that America is strong, America is proud, and America is free. A better future is only possible if your nations drive out the terrorists and drive out the extremes. Drive them out of this earth. Today, gathered with friends, I call upon all people, Jews, Christians, Muslims, and every faith, every tribe, every creed, to draw inspiration from this ancient city, to set aside our sectarian differences, to overcome oppression and hatred, and to give all children the freedom and hope and dignity written into our souls. I will always stand with the Jewish people, and I will always stand with our great friend and partner, the State of Israel. The people of Poland, the people of America, and the people of Europe still cry out, we want God. And above all, we value the dignity of every human life, protect the rights of every person, and share the hope of every soul to live in freedom. That is who we are. Those are the priceless ties that bind us together as nations, as allies, and as a civilization. Our citizens did not win freedom together, did not survive horrors together, did not face down evil together, only to lose our freedom to a lack of pride and confidence in our values. We did not, and we will not. We will never back down. The men and women of the United States military have been the greatest force for peace and justice in the history of the world. Every time you see the sun rise over this blessed land, please know your brave sons and daughters pushed away the night and delivered for us all that great and glorious dawn. It's time for a grateful nation to join hands with our police and with our sheriffs to build the bridges of cooperation and trust and to make our streets safer for every man, woman, and child in America. I am asking all members of Congress to join me in dreaming big and bold and daring things for our country. I am asking everyone watching tonight to seize this moment, believe in yourselves, believe in your future, and believe once more in America.
Man, that makes you so proud to be an American. I was like, oh my goodness, it's so amazing. Just in 6 months, that's what was taking place, and even bigger things have happened since then. Listen, we get back from this break, we're going to go to our unofficial field reporter in Jerusalem, Hananya Naphtali. And she's going to take us to the Sea of Galilee.
Yes.
And talk to us about 10 things that you might not know about the Sea of Galilee. We're not going to talk about what Jesus walked on. We're not going to talk about it. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this.
You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube. Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to youtube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Well, we're going to go straight to Israel from Hananya and Naphtali, talking about the Sea of Galilee. 10 things that we might not know about it. Let's go there now.
Hi there, from the beautiful Sea of Galilee. Today I'm going to show you 10 facts that you probably didn't know about the Sea of Galilee, one of the most sacred places in the world. The Sea of Galilee has many names. One of them is Kinneret. And the reason it's called that way is because Kinneret is Hebrew for violin, and the Sea of Galilee is in the shape of a violin. The Sea of Galilee is located in northeast Israel, near the borders with Jordan and Syria. It's fed and drained by the Jordan River. The Sea of Galilee is the largest freshwater lake in Israel, nearly the size of Washington, D.C. Visitors who come here love to stop by ancient hot springs near the lake that are believed to have healing effects. The Sea of Galilee became a pilgrimage site for many Christians, as it's where Jesus walked on water. Jesus' most famous sermon is believed to happen on the hill right behind me. It's called Mount of Beatitudes. And if it did happen there, then they had a beautiful view on the Sea of Galilee. The sea is 700 feet or 210 meters below sea level. Its closest city is Tiberias, which lies on the western side of the lake and known to be one of Israel's holy cities. The Sea of Galilee is an important source of commercial fishing, and the surrounding area grows bananas, kutan, dates, and more. To make a long story short, this is an amazing place, and you're gonna fall in love with it. When to visit? I personally like to visit here in May, June, September, and even October, because it's not too hot, and obviously not too cold. We're in the Middle East. See you in Israel!
That's so awesome. You know, I think about that. When I was in Israel, I had a chance to be on the Galilee. I stayed at a kibbutz there on the side of it, which is like communal living there. And I had jet lag. So it's the opposite of my time in America, time-wise.
Right.
And so I'm wide awake at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, probably about 3. And so I walk out of the kibbutz right on the Sea of Galilee, and it's just beautiful. And all you can think about is like, this is where... This is that, you know, Jesus's ministry was all up and down, you know, the Sea of Galilee, it's where he walked on the water, you know, and I thought, you know, it's quite often you think, well, how could a storm come where you couldn't see, because remember the storms and the waves, but I was recently near the Bay of in Mobile, Alabama, on the edge of it, and all of a sudden a storm came so quickly, it was just dramatic. Where the wind and the waves. I'm like, oh, that's how it happens. Right. We just love Hananya Naftali. You can actually go to his YouTube channel to be able to connect with him. He is a great voice for us and others to be able to stand up for what's happening in Israel. And I encourage you, if you haven't yet gone to Israel, you got to go there. It's the safest place on earth, believe it or not. There's soldiers everywhere, and it's just real. It's just real safe. They just media tries to make it look unsafe to keep people from going there. But you want to go there and walk where Jesus walked and be a part of that. And just your Bible comes alive with that. So we want to pray right now. We want to pray. Father God, we just thank you for truth, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we have people, Lord, like this Professor Carol Swain. And we have this author, Atkinson, Lord, she's standing up. And they're saying things like, this is the truth. This is what's going on. God, we pray for all the truth carriers in our nation and the world, God, that you would protect them. Lord God, and we wouldn't fall prey to allowing people to cut off the people that are telling us the truth by people smearing them, Lord God. But, Lord, you even said prophetically in our last program, as we're hearing about Kim Clement and what you said through him, that you were going to deal and uncover these things. God, we pray that you would uncover them, Father God, and you'd bring truth even into our schools, into our nation, Father God, and into the world, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you are the truth, the way, and the life. We just thank you for that, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would end abortion, send revival. Lord, send a third great awakening. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called The Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com. and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.